Forgiven people forgive others. That could be the title of the message, and to see if we are forgiving or unforgiving. Certainly gives an indication as to where our relationship is with Christ. And forgiveness is such a big part of the gospel. At the end of the sermon, just wanted to give you a chance, if you've never turned to Christ and said, "Be my Lord and Savior, because I need forgiveness." Because obviously in my life I'm horrible at forgiving others. I don't have a desire to do that. That you might pray and meet the one who does forgive first all the time, the Lord. So open to Him throughout the service. I was at a Christian retreat a number of years ago, and we were all told to go off and pray about five people in our lives, or whoever else God brings to mind, who we have had a hard time forgiving. And being in a retreat, you know, I felt close to God, and I thought, well, I'm fine with everybody. I have nothing to talk about here to God. But within a minute or so, as I prayed, at least five people came out of the shadows of my memory and thinking, and kind of stood before me in my recollection of them, and as if God's Holy Spirit was saying, "Now, do you forgive him? Did you ever, and do you still? And do you forgive her? How about this brother and sister in Christ? How about this family member or this person in your past?" And it was a good chance for all of us to begin to practice forgiving in light of what God had done for us. The people who came to my mind, they might say, well, you know, they repeated sins that were damaging to our relationship two or three times on a regular basis, you know. Should there be forgiveness at that point with such consistent disruption? And yet in my own soul, I had to know that not just two or three times on a regular basis, but hundreds of times on a regular basis, I had sinned against God repeatedly and owed him thousands of offenses that I had committed against him. So it was a sobering time, but also a joyful time. And as I thought about the Lord's forgiveness, I wanted to repent and change and begin to practice forgiving others more freely as I had been forgiven because of the blood of Christ. And so forgiveness is a hard thing, something you and I experience on a daily basis, hopefully, because Jesus said, you know, when you pray, "Father, forgive us, because we also forgive those who have sinned against us." And the Apostle Peter obviously struggled with forgiveness. He asked Jesus, "How many times should I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Seven times. Should I do that seven times?" And Peter thought he was being the most gracious Christian on the block at that point. The big religious leaders taught that you only had to really forgive somebody who intentionally sinned against you three times. Okay? Three strikes and you're out. That's how baseball got the three strikes and you're out thing. No, Peter thought, so I'm going to double that. And not only double that, I'll add one. And should I forgive, even if they do seven times, you know? I mean, I'm really going to be heroic at this point. And Jesus says, no, not seven times, 77 times, or 70 times seven, some countless number that we'll have an opportunity to practice the forgiveness that God has so graciously extended to us. And so the Lord tells a story. He says there was a boss, and a man who worked for the boss owed the boss several million dollars, huge amount of money. And if you've ever been in debt like that, you know the feeling of panic and despair it can bring. And the man in debt told the boss, "Be patient with me and I'll pay you back. I'm going to work real hard and try to make this up to you. So everything will be okay." But the boss had pity on the man. He knew he couldn't pay it off. And so he canceled the debt. And you can imagine the freedom, hopefully, he felt. But the forgiven man sees a fellow servant and says, "Hey, you owe me $100. Pay up right now." And the other servant said, I can't pay. Be patient with me and I'll pay you back." And the forgiven man says, "No way. Now, if you don't pay me back, off you go to pay the debt. And Jesus said in the story, the other servants were very distressed about this. And I don't know whether Jesus intended it, but I know in my life, if when I'm unforgiving toward other people, it not only affects my relationship with God, it seems to affect other people's relationship toward myself, who have nothing to do with, you know, the sin that was against me. It just kind of, it takes away from the closeness that was meant to be between God's people when there's unforgiveness there. So all the servants were distressed. The boss also, he became distressed. He told the wicked servant, "I canceled all of your debt. And shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant like I had mercy on you?" And so the boss said, "Now you pay me everything. You pay me everything." And Jesus said, "Forgive your brother from your heart." Because we saw how the boss, the master, wanted to forgive and pass it on to us. So to know the forgiveness of Jesus and to put that into practice in our relationships with ourselves, with others, and with the Lord. Just a couple of things to review. The good news that Christ would bring us this morning, if we're feeling not close to God or estranged from Him or just in just open rebellion, Jesus would come and say, "Look, I'll take all your offenses in my body on the cross, and I'll pay the debt you can't pay." So you could be a forgiven person. Christ paying for our sins, past, present, and future. What a gift. I don't know if you remember a couple weeks ago, the paralyzed man who was brought to Jesus on a stretcher. You know, he said, I need to walk. And Jesus says to him, "Your sins are forgiven." And everybody went, "Wow." So Jesus may or may not give us a particular miracle that we want. He would give us this miracle. The biggest miracle you and I can ever receive. To be a forgiven person. And to be given a relationship with Christ forever. We give Him praise and glory for that. I am forgiven. And the second truth, I am being forgiven. Doesn't contradict the first truth. Just means right now I'm experiencing the grace and forgiveness Christ came to bring. He comes and reaches out to me. One of the guys in our fellowship had shared a number of times. He said he read what Martin Luther said when Luther said, "I preach the gospel to myself every day because I need salvation every day." And that's where we're at. So then on any given day, we could say, thank you, Lord. You know, wonderful grace of Jesus. If He took it away, I would be in hell forever without Your forgiveness. But You'd give me that, Lord. This is a life changer for us. And then I will be forgiven. That we have an assurance that when the future comes, God will hold us in His powerful hand. And He'll take us to be with Himself. And so to be forgiven means to be set free, let go, debt canceled. And you could just, I won't ask for a show of hands, how many of us are totally debt free because somebody came and paid our debt for us? You say, "Well, I can't say that." But we would all say, "Yeah, it was the Lord. The biggest debt I ever had was my sins against God. And He said, I pay for them at the cross. All the offenses were put on Christ." And so we begin to do that as Jesus, the great forgiver, teaches us how. You know, when we forgive, we let two people out of debtor's prison. We let ourselves out and we let the other person out. Because we're not holding things against them anymore and we're not walking around with the burden of the sin of unforgiveness, which is painful sin to hold on to. We have examples in the Bible of people who forgave some horrible sins that were against them. And these sins were done repeatedly, or at least in a couple of cases. First sin, and the person who forgave tremendously, was Joseph. Joseph was rejected by his own family. And some in this room are working through that right now. You know, somebody in their family said, go away from me. Okay. Don't want you around. I'd sell you into Egypt if I had the chance. Okay. And what a painful thing that is. And so Joseph was away from his family and isolated and in a rough time. And many years later, he meets the people who did very wrong against him for years and years and years and years. And they're afraid. They think Joseph's going to whack us now. And nobody would say, I don't understand that. But instead, Joseph looks at the brothers and he says, am I in the place of God? Well, Joseph says, I'm not going to be your ultimate judge. Even in the wrong that you did. Am I in the place of God? He said, you meant it for evil. It was sin. But God meant it for good. And so Joseph was able to forgive his brothers and actually bring a blessing to them in some manner of his own acceptance. And it was a life changer. So Joseph's a great example. Another great example, Daniel. Daniel sinned against by a number of people for following God. And sinned against by government as such. Okay, the governing authority said, don't worship God or I'm going to get rid of you. Daniel prayed. He said, okay, to the lions then you go. And Daniel's going to get eaten by the lions. God shuts the mouth of the lions. And the king, he's ambivalent toward Daniel. But the next day he goes to the den. Daniel, are you in there? The first thing Daniel says is, O king, live forever. He's given a blessing to the king who tried to get him eaten. Okay. God shut the mouth of the lions, and God shut Daniel's mouth in terms of saying, now, king, I'm going to throw you in this pit here because of what you tried to do for me. None of that in Daniel's heart. How could, what a wonderful gift God gave him. And then Stephen, great example of forgiveness. He was following Christ. Folks were firing stones at him. We're gonna kill you by being stoned. Not just one stone, Not just two stones. I'm going to keep throwing until you're dead. That's the motive. Some of you know what it's like by folks who have sinned against you, or maybe against yourself. Well, I keep trying to wipe myself out here, how self-destructive that is. And right in the midst of all that, Stephen says, Lord, don't hold this sin against them. Wow. What would be in Stephen's heart to be able to do that? It was Christ in his life that helped him forgive. And what a critical thing it is. And what a witness, powerful witness it is when we practice forgiving. A lot of time, some of you are familiar with the Amish community. A number of years ago, multiple murders were committed, I believe, in a small Amish community in Pennsylvania. And whether the individuals knew the Lord or not, we don't know. But they said, as a group of people who lost loved ones at the hands of evil, they said, we forgive. That's what we do. That's who we are. And all the secular media and believers alike and atheists, they said, wow, what was that? Maybe there's a God. Maybe there's a God is real and powerful. Because look at these folks with the ability to forgive. And you and I have a great testimony from Christ when we're able to forgive. And we don't have to make a big deal about it, blow the trumpet and say, I want you to know I forgive all my, all the people who attacked me or anything. Don't make a hero out of yourself. Be a grateful forgiver because Christ has been the hero to forgive you a much greater debt. And so things we can know about forgiveness. Forgiving is difficult, very painful, might take time. I want to read you a true story from buddy I mentioned a couple weeks ago, John Guest. Actually, it was the last week when I had him recall the story about his family growing up, how broken it was. He talks about this being a youth pastor. and how he wanted to do some young people in the name of the Lord here. But he says, many years ago I worked as a youth pastor. One particular teenager antagonized me to no end. He insulted me. He made my life miserable, used offensive language against me, and was belligerent. Okay, I don't know if you had any incidences like that. He took every opportunity to put me down. I can still clearly remember his name. This is years later. And John Guest says, the fact that I can remember his name, but I can't remember the names of some of the other young people who really were good Christian kids, shows the power of bitterness in my own soul. How unforgiveness could dominate your mind and your thinking. He goes on to describe how they related. We used to play indoor soccer in youth group. When he was on the court, I had no interest in the ball, only in him. I would not run toward the ball. I would run to him and ram him into the boards. What really made me mad is he did the same thing to me. All this at a Christian youth group, and I, an ordained pastor. So here's a guy who's pretty strong in his relationship with Christ. I mean, God uses him to draw a lot of people to salvation. He hates this kid and is unforgiving. So John Guest says, I knew this couldn't go on. I got down on my knees and prayed, Lord, I see this guy kneeling at your cross just like I do. And I see you looking down on him, loving him, forgiving him the same way you would love and forgive me. Please help me treat him the way you do and the way I've been treated. And God began to change John Guest's heart and was able to actually first minimally and then more intentionally love that person. So it's difficult, takes time. It messes up our worship if we don't forgive. I know I've been in services where, you know, well, I thought, well, worship didn't go well. I didn't know the song, and I got lost in the sermon, you know. So worship was bad. No, it was because I was unforgiving. It had nothing to do with the song or the sermon. Because I was out of touch with God, out of touch with my brother and sister in Christ. Second thing, forgiving is a gift from God. Forgive as God has forgiven us. And sometimes I think we just pray, Lord, forgive. I forgive too. Help my unforgiveness. We could ask God for help like that. Lord, help my unforgiveness. Forgiveness reminds us that sin is real. Just like Stephen prayed. Simple prayer, if you're struggling to forgive another or yourself, could you just pray the Bible. Pray Stephen's prayer. Lord, don't hold this sin against them. It takes courage to pray that. But it's of God to pray that. You think of your own life, the mess you've made of it, the mess I've made of mine, to pray, Lord, don't hold my own sin against me, please. Give me your grace. Restore the years that I've broken my own soul in. And then forgiving sets ourselves and the other person free. Really does open up a whole avenue of clean relationships. Number five, I think, is a big one that I've learned. Forgiveness is a daily commitment. I've had experiences where if I thought I was unforgiving, that I really dealt with it before God and said, okay, with God's help, I forgive and surrender to God. And I walk away feeling everything's nice, you know. And a month later, I'm walking around, I see the person. All of a sudden, I'm walking in Giant Eagle and I go past the ice cream place and I remember, that person likes this kind of ice cream. I hate them, you know. Oh, I got to forgive again. Practice forgiveness. It's okay to do. God understands. You make that commitment. You forgive and forgive again. And then forgiving may mean not allowing yourself to be hurt again. That's real important. You realize the other person, they might not be able to stop the evil they're doing. They just might be hard-headed, rebellious, and hateful. It has nothing to do with you. So you get some boundaries, say, I forgive, But, you know, I don't have to be their best friend. I forgive. I don't have to make myself in danger because of the evil. That's a toxic person. I got to love them where they're at, but I don't want to participate in their sinful behavior. And then forgiving is remembering God is in the picture, just like Joseph said. Am I in the place of God? I want God to rule this thing, not me. To come down hard on that person when chances are we've done the same kind of sin to other people and maybe not, you know, not realized it. Certainly we did the same kind of sin against the Lord. And thousands of times, and He does set us free. Some signs that we have forgiven, just some practical things to hold on to. This is from R.T. Kendall, who wrote a bunch of good books on forgiveness. He says, you know you've forgiven others when you don't repeat the matter. That was a good one. In other words, I say, before God and maybe another person, this is what happened and I do forgive, but I don't go around telling that story, you know, every week. They did this to me and, you know, I forgave them. A year from now, they did this to me and I forgave them. Well, maybe you didn't forgive them because you keep talking about it. Obviously, the pain is still there. Don't repeat the matter. Commit it to God. Then pray for God to bless your antagonist. That's a good one. Lord, I want you to show greatness to this person. Show your love. And if you're a vehicle for it, fine. And the last one that shows we're really dealing with a forgiveness issue, I think, is also to tell God any bitterness you have toward Him because of the sin that came your way. Because I don't know about you, it's maybe not for everybody, maybe it's my own quirk. But if I have unforgiveness toward my brother or sister, if I have a chip on my shoulder toward them, I usually have a chip on my shoulder toward the Lord. I mean, I pass it on to God one way or another. Right? Because I'm on the case of one of His creations. So I'm going to have a sense of uneasiness, of not peace, and of difficulty before the Lord. But we could say, Lord, I set the other person free. I set you free, Lord, because there's no sin in you. No sin in you. And one last story to again motivate us to say, I can bring myself and the person I have a hard time forgiving before God continually. I like the story a lot. The story changed it around a little bit. The neighborhood patriarch who settles disputes in the neighborhood. Everybody should have one. Usually it's the oldest person in the neighborhood and most wise. Neighborhood patriarch sees two neighbors feuding. The instance was one man was backing out of his driveway. He ran over the pet turtle of the other man. Man said, I will not forgive. There's no way you can repay me for the loss, and I'll never have that turtle again. Now, his feelings were hurt. Neighborhood patriarch comes and says, you know, that is a bad thing, but I just received a huge inheritance from one of my family members, and I want you to forgive the guy. In fact, I'm going to write you a check for $50,000. You can buy a few turtles with that. $50,000, I'm going to give it to you if you'd say, I will forgive this man. And I thought, wow, yeah, I'll give it a try. I'll certainly put an effort into it, and no guarantee, but for $50,000, I will forgive. Okay, peace reigns again in the neighborhood. Another neighbor was yelling at his other neighbor and created tension and alienation. And the patriarch says, you know, I saw what happened. That was definitely wrong. I just got this huge inheritance. And I'd like to make a check out to you for $500,000. If you would go and forgive this guy. Go and forgive this guy, man, I'll bring him a pie. You know, $500,000. This is definitely, I like this forgiveness stuff. Makes me feel really good. And one more conflict was occurring. A family member came over a neighbor's house. he was alienated with this person for years. One neighbor wouldn't even let him in. No, they didn't love me for years. Now they come to my door and I don't have nothing to do with them. The patriarch says, you know, I just got this huge inheritance. And I'm going to give you a check for $10 million. If you open that door, and you let that person come in. And the man said, let him come in. He can stay overnight if he wants. For $10 million, I feel like the most forgiving person in the whole world. And when Jesus forgave us, he didn't give us a check for $50,000 or $500,000 or even $10 million. But he did bankrupt heaven. He said, I'd take all the wealth of heaven itself. I would give this to you as my child. Now, would you forgive that person? Would you forgive yourself? Because this is the high price that I think is worth you passing on what I passed on to you. And we say, oh Lord, we're amazed. And we want to be the most forgiving people in the whole world because of what Jesus has done for us. And might we put that into practice? What a change it could bring. What families would stay together if that was practiced? What Christian brothers would walk side by side if they say, yeah, we remember Jesus bankrupted heaven. What lost people would say, I hear good news. Something about forgiveness. It's too much to count. And as we pray, I did want to give you a chance. You say, I can't forgive and I don't know if I'm forgiven. You receive Christ and you'll be the best forgiver on earth. You will be. Because you'll say, look at what he did for me. This is amazing. Doesn't erase the pain that was done, but it helps you to move on with the strength of the Savior. And so would you pray with me? And I want to ask you to raise your hand if you're receiving Christ. I don't do that a lot or enough, but it's important. Father, thank you for wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all our sin. And we rejoice in you. We rejoice in the debt canceled, and we learn how to pass on that to others, to ourselves. And Father, just as we pray together, if anybody needs to pray, Lord, I want forgiven from you. Cancel my debt and teach me to forgive others. If somebody would say, Jesus, be my Savior, I never received you, but I want to receive you now. You can raise your hand and say, yeah, I want Jesus to be my Savior. So I can be one of the best forgivers around. And if you raise your hand, I'll silently pray for you. Any need of salvation, debt canceled, wonderful gift. We're glad for Jesus' love for each one. Give us your grace, give us your good news, and a broken, open heart to follow. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.